Not a game. We talking about practice.
Now it's time for the takeover.
Buckle up for Kobe. Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity out of the target center.
Not the game. We talking about practice, man.
That's a stretch play. Dodgers have won it all in 2020. Oh, what a shot from Curry. Diggs, sideline, touchdown.
The return to glory.
Now it's time for the takeover.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. If you ain't first, you're last.
Whew. Folks, it is episode 156 of the Takeover Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Seeker, and we got another great episode. And I don't know if you've noticed, the setup, it's different. We got a whole table. I know we don't have like a huge wide view. I'll post a picture so you guys can get a better look. But yeah, we got seats now, mounted microphones, and I got a very special guest sitting across from me, but we're not going to get to him yet. We got to introduce the man that makes it happen behind the scenes. Sean is still in a non-renovated workspace. He's still vibing though, and he's still making it happen. How we doing?
You know, studios are always, it looks good on camera, but when you look really behind the scenes, it's always a chaos mess. Roger, if you look behind you, there's a ton of cords all over on the ground. But that's the beauty of cameras. They don't pick that up. You look at the camera and you see a clean table. You see the wires attached. Like, everything looks so pretty, but
it's pristine.
You know?
Yes. And shout out to you, Sean and Roberto. Like, this was all them.
Yeah.
So
nice little level up. New year, new table.
Same us, though. Same us. And you know what, Sean? Here's the thing. This episode, it's not about us.
No.
Not about us.
The first minute is, but that's it.
That's about it. So, I don't know if you guys read the title to the video. We have a very special guest, Boise State right guard, number 62, Roger Carrion. Yeah! Welcome to the show, my man.
Appreciate you for having me, Ryan.
Yeah, of course, dude. It's good to have you. You got the nice, you're kind of dripped out, just a short sleeve blue shirt. You got the tattoo you got showing off.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the ink, dude. What we got here? It's beautiful.
So this is something I've been planning for a few years. Started back in high school, probably about sophomore year. I kind of started putting it together, and I finally was able to kind of finish it up this last year. So it's been a process. It's kind of just my story, just different aspects.
Okay.
It's all got meaning to me and stuff like that. It's
got
mom's birth flower, grandma's birth flowers, and then just kind of different pieces.
But, yeah. That's beautiful, dude. Now, I was seeing some like stars on there. It's like a whole mesh
It's a whole.
Oh, yeah. It goes up to the shoulder, baby. That's a full sleeve. The ace of spades.
Yep.
We got arrows. Okay.
Yeah, man.
You were thinking about getting inked up in high school, sophomore year?
I was, yeah.
Dude.
I've always wanted tattoos.
Okay.
And it was just about waiting until I was 18 so I could get them.
Yeah.
And my mom was always a big, like, she said, hey, you can get tattoos as long as, like, it's not any jokes or anything. Like, it's got to mean something to you. And so,
yeah.
I kind of ran with that and got a sleeve. So.
Mom's like, hey, like, this is permanent, so it better not be something stupid, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Good on mom, and I'm sure they made you wait till you're 18, right? Or
yep.
Okay.
Yep. So I waited till I was 18.
Nice.
My first piece on this sleeve, but yeah.
Good, and I've always heard, I don't have any tattoos, don't know if anyone else does, but I mean, I always kind of heard, like, you have to think about it for a year, and then if you still want it after a year, get it.
For sure.
Is that like a good rule to have?
For sure. I would say so, like, because at the end of the day, it's going to be on your body for the rest of your life, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you want to make the right decision. And sometimes, like, you're in the moment, and you're like, yeah, I want this really bad. And then you get it, and, like, 2 months later, you're like, okay, that wasn't a great decision. Like, so.
Yeah, you don't want it to be, like, an impulse thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can do the whole tattoo removal, but, I mean, it doesn't sound pleasant from what I've heard.
Not at all.
Yeah, I mean. But, hey, I mean, we got to talk about John, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Where you're from. The roots.
Yeah, John, New Mexico.
So I looked at a map. I'm a geography guy.
Okay.
I like my state capitals. And so I looked up Jal, New Mexico. I'm sure 99% of you don't know where this is, but dude, it is, if you can picture the state of New Mexico, it's the very bottom right corner of the state. Like the furthest bottom right you can go. I mean, were you just always like drive to Texas and like,
yeah, like, yeah. So my buddies and I always like would hop in the quads and go right, like cruise the back roads and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it probably was about a mile drive on dirt roads and you're in Texas. So
wow, dirt yeah, roads,
right on that state line.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so and you went to Jall High School. I didn't think there was any other high schools at Jall. Population, what, Sean? Did you see two? That's like 2,000.
Yeah, that's around like 2,500, somewhere around there.
Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, between 2,000 and 3,000.
Yeah, 2,100.
Okay. The 5-7-5. Okay, so Jall, New Mexico, 3-star recruit. Offensive lineman, but you also play defense.
I did.
And your sophomore year, you had, let's see if I can remember, you had 7 sacks and like 20-something tackles for loss.
Yeah.
Did you like, sounded like you liked defense too.
So, originally I wanted to play defensive line in college.
Okay.
That was something I like, I just love defense, like getting after the quarterback, like just kind of the more, I don't know, like the nature of defense, like just...
A little more disruption.
Yeah, a little more disruption. Like kind
chaotic.
Of just a little more, yeah.
Yeah.
I really love that, and that was something. I wanted to be a D lineman. And so so it's the summer before my junior year.
Okay.
I go to my first, like, college camp, and they separate you. They're like, okay, if you want to play D-line, go over here. If you want to play O-line, go to this side. And then you do a bunch of, like, individual drills. For like an hour, and then you get together, and it's like one-on-ones, right? So I get on the defensive side, and the guy who's running the camp, his name, he went by Coach O is what they called him.
Coach big
time,
O.
Big time recruiter in Texas.
Okay.
He's the director of recruiting at North Texas right now.
Okay, let's go.
But he's like, hey, like, you're an offensive lineman. And I'm like, what? Like, I came to this camp for defense, right? And he's like, you know, you're an offensive lineman. Like, trust me. And so I trusted him, and I went over to the other side and did some individual drills. I never, like, truly, like, pass-setted before or done anything like that. Like, that wasn't just something that – because at my high school, we just ran the ball. Like, we hardly passed. And if we did, it wasn't – we didn't have a specific technique for it.
Okay. So it was just some peewee, like – run the ball, run the ball, run the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe throw it, run the ball, run the ball.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I do the individual, and then in like at the very end, there's like 5 minutes, and he pulls me to the side one-on-one, and they're teaching me how to pass it in 5 minutes. And they're like, okay, like, it's go time. Let's go do one-on-ones. So I do one-on-ones, and I think out of maybe like 20 reps, I lost one. And so after that, like, they're like, okay, like, you can play. Like, like, it was just natural. And so that was pretty cool and a pretty special moment and kind of like a transitioning point in my football career. And kind of 2 weeks later, I had my first offer and stuff. So that was kind of a crazy ordeal, yeah.
So, I mean, were you excited to be offensive lineman, or were you asking why, or were you just kind of like, I'm just going to trust this? Like,
So I like you said, I played D-line and O-line, so I always I liked O-line too, but I just had more of a passion for defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But then once they like told me like, hey, like this is where you're pretend like this is where you have the most potential and like where you're gonna be a better football player, I'm like, you know what, like I'm gonna trust this and run with it. And from that point on, I didn't look back and just kind of kept going to camps and whatnot. And yeah, but now I love offensive line. Like
you're really good at it, dude.
I would, if someone's like, hey, like, here's X amount of money, like, to play D-line, like, I'd be like, no, I'm sticking with O-line, sorry. Like,
good stuff.
Yeah.
So you see the vision, you see the potential.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go, dude. So, and also in high school, it looks like springtime, doing a little track and field, and you're doing shot put.
I did, yep.
How was that?
It was fun. Funny story, my aunt it was my throwing coach.
What? Okay.
She drove the bus, and she was also my, like, discus and shot put coach. And so, you know, we'd go to practice, and we'd be there. And on Wednesday nights, we have family night, go back. And she's sitting there trying to coach me in the living room, like, just trying to figure out, like, how to get better.
It's like, no, Roger, more hips. What are you doing here? It's like, auntie, Roger, we're trying to eat. Yeah, come on, come sit down.
Yeah, she was a She was a state champ when she was in high school, and so she.
Oh, so she's the truth.
She knows what she's talking about. So she coached me up a little bit. Ended up going to state for both. I went in like as a higher. I was like the number one for shot put, and then like three for discus. Ended up flipping it in state.
And this number one in state for those.
For shot put, and then like third for discus, and ended up like when I went to state, I kept falling out of the ring in shot put, so I ended up like, I don't even know if I placed. Like it was crazy. But then I went and won discus, so that was like,
we'll take it.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy, but I love track. Like I love just playing other sports other than football. I did pretty much anything my school had to offer. But yeah,
good stuff. So recruiting process, I saw Air Force, Army, New Mexico. Boise State, obviously. Oh, I'm trying to remember the. Oh, Sean, you are on it, dude. Oregon State, Northern Arizona, Texas State. So you visited Boise State, and then you immediately committed.
I did. Yep.
What sold Boise State?
Just kind of like right when we showed up, like, you know, this guy that used to be here, his name was Eli. He came and picked us up, and. You know, that kind of took us for a little spin, and like I was like, holy smokes, like this place is like beautiful. Like this is awesome. Like where I grew up, there's no trees, like there's nothing. Like it's literally
Jal, New Mexico. This ain't Jal.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was kind of crazy. But yeah, get here. And then, you know, they show me, they take me around the facilities and stuff. I meet all the coaches for the first time, and they were all super awesome. Got to meet some of the players that OJ, he's on the Titans now, plays O-line for the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he was, he hosted me, had me over at his house and stuff, and he's a super awesome guy. Like, he's super down to earth, kind of different guy for sure, but he was awesome. Sweet. And so I would say that's a pretty good host considering he's in the NFL.
Yeah,
now, so.
Perfect host.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's as good as it gets at the time. Yeah, 2021?
Yep, I think so, yeah.
Yep, I think if I'm doing that right. Yep, yeah, okay, 2020, yes. And then you enrolled. Wait, okay, actually, I want to piggyback on Air Force and Army. Were you thinking military?
No, so those are actually probably like the first set of schools that I kind of ruled out.
Okay.
I have a lot of respect for like the military and stuff. And,
of course, yeah, of course.
But like it wasn't something that I... wanted to do necessarily, like, you know, because you go and play for these schools and afterwards, like, you have to go into the work field for X amount of years, right? And I was like, I kind of, like, want to do some different. And so I called those guys up. I was like, hey, like, I genuinely appreciate y'all, like, for offering me and stuff like that. Like, awesome opportunity, but I think I'm going to go elsewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, those they were pretty early on, I think, too.
I think as early as it gets. Yeah. 2021, February.
Yep.
So, wait, when did you visit Boise? Was it in June?
Yeah, so it was in the summer. So
yeah. Oh, so everything's green, sun's out.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Dude, perfect. The weather was awesome, too, in show of like.
Did you float the river?
No, we didn't float the river, but we walked the Greenbelt and stuff. And
perfect.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You could see everything then.
Yeah, it was sweet.
All the restaurants on the Greenbelt, too. And you're yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Everyone's biking. Everyone's like, hey,
That was the crazy thing is when I showed up, I'm like, the amount of people that are like jogging around, like running or like bikes or whatever.
Just getting out.
Like,
active.
Yeah, like just super active. Like, I was like, oh, that's kind of crazy. Like,
this is sick.
No one does that back home.
Yeah. Our roads are paved.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it sounds like it made it that easy. So then you get to Boise State, you sign your letter of intent, you enroll. First practice at Boise State. Walk me through that feeling. Like, you made it. Your college football. What are you feeling?
Yeah, it was pretty surreal, I would say. Just, like, that first practice was, like, you know, it's kind of like a real wake-up moment. Like, okay. You know, I remember I was super nervous beforehand. Like, because I showed up in June. So, like, the summer's just workouts. Like, you don't do really any football specific stuff, especially as a young guy, like there's PRPs and stuff like that, but you don't really get those reps. So you come fall camp, day one, practice one, and show up on the field, and it's just like the anticipation for that first practice. And it was kind of like a real like, holy smokes, like, this is the real deal. Like, first snap, like, you're just like, wow, like, you just stay in the trenches. You're like, yeah, okay. You're like, holy smokes.
This kicks.
Yeah, and I remember a guy by the name of George Tarlis when he used to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, he was the real deal.
Nice.
And then, like, Scott Matlock, like, those guys were.
Yeah, NFL, yeah.
Yeah, and Ahmed was on the come up, like, at that point. Like, he was a young guy, like, coming up. And so our D-line was insane that year. And so, like, that first practice, you know, I go against George Tarlis, and he just sticks me and just snatches me
welcome
straight to
D1,
the ground.
Baby.
And it's just like, okay, like, let's go. Like, this is what it is.
All right. Chin strap back on.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and so, yeah, with that going through your head, were you kind of like, oh, like, I need to kind of – I definitely need to work towards this? Or were you just like, man, this is going to be like, am I going to be starting? Like, were these thoughts going through your head? Were you getting nervous at all? Were you like, no, just trust the process?
No, I was just like, trust the process, really. Like, I understood that it was going to be something to figure out, because, like, at this level, like, everybody's strong, everybody's fast, everybody's big. Like, it's like understanding, like, the techniques and, like, the scheme. When you're able to grasp those things, it kind of, like, at that point, like, you can elevate your game. And so for me, I was young, and, like, that was something that I'd never had, like, that structure in high school. It was just like, hey, like, we're going to hand the ball off to this guy and, like, just run behind Raj. Like, he's going to clear it out and, like, go. And, like, it at this level, that's not how it works. Like, it's a lot more in-depth. And so I knew, like, it was just going to be a trust the process and continue to, like, watch the older guys and learn from them. And, you know, I did have a lot of guys in front of me that are awesome. And so I was able to learn from those guys, but yeah.
Okay, and what was the, I guess, your freshman, very, very first year, what was, like, the biggest, you think, like, best advice that you heard that you feel like that you've helped your game so far and throughout the growing process?
Best advice.
Yeah.
I'd say I got, like, there was, you know, there was a lot of wise words given by the guys, like, OJ and Garrett. Like, those guys are just super, like, they had a lot of knowledge, especially OJ. But, probably the best advice that I got that, like, I really still stick to this day is, like, control the things that you can control, like, and everything's going to work out. Because at the end of the day, like, the uncontrollable, like, that's out of your hands. Like, you can't do anything about it. But, like, the things you can control is, like, your effort, right? Showing up and watching extra film, like, just kind of, like, that extra stuff, like, stuff that you're, like, is within your capability. Like, if you can excel in those things and give everything you got, like, you're going to grow. And just trust in, like, you know, the culture that's been built with this place, like, watching those other guys, how they do things the right way, and, like, taking that in, and if you just trust that, like, everything's going to work out the way it's supposed to. And so I feel like that was a good piece of advice that, you know, sticks with me to this day, and, like, I harp on, and now I'm an older guy in the room, and it's something that, you know, I'm able to share with the younger guys, but, yeah.
Dude, okay, good. Because right now, what, your redshirt, I guess going into redshirt junior year?
Yeah.
So going into this last year, redshirt sophomore, Georgia Southern, hot. Yeah. You guys are lighting up the scoreboard. Then you go into Oregon. Unfortunately, then you suffer the injury. I mean, do you just kind of feel like, because I feel like the stuff you were putting on tape was phenomenal. Did you feel like you were kind of in a rhythm? And then, unfortunately, you just kind of feel like that knee injury was just kind of like swept you under the rug, like, what was, like, your emotions going through that, man? I mean, I'm sure that must have been just absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah, for sure. Like, going into the season, like, I had big goals for myself. You know, the previous year was my first year, like, truly playing a lot. And I was able to put some good stuff on film and, like, grew a lot as a player and as a person. And so, like, this year was, like, okay, like, this is my year. Like, I want to be a first-team all-conference guy, like, you know, second team All-American. Like, I had those goals for myself. Like, that was something that I wanted. So, like, going into this year, like, having conversations with the coaches and just knowing, like, I was going to give everything I had, like, it was a possible, like, it was something that was kind of realistic. And so I'm, like, pumped. Like, you know, game one is, like, Ashton puts up video game numbers. Like,
six touchdowns.
Crazy. Like, he breaks all these.
260 yards.
Yeah, he breaks all these records. And, like, it was just unreal. Like, during the game, like, you don't realize, like, how crazy those numbers are until afterwards you look back. Like, after the game, you're like, yeah, you're going through the stats, and you're like, he had what? Like,
you're like, dude, I'm in Arizona, dude, and we're sitting here, we're at freaking FanDuel, me and my buddies, and dude, we're just like jumping around, and all these guys are in there like, what are they doing? We're like tucked away in the corner, just these Boise State fans in like Phoenix, Arizona. We're like, six, baby, we're going around to everyone. I couldn't believe it. And like the stuff that he was doing, like the side steps, like the, the spin moves, the stiff arms. I mean, he just did it all year. But I mean, just to, like the way that this last season started, it's like, oh, like this Heisman campaign that we were pushing for, like, oh, it's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
He set the tone early for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
In that first game, like, he displayed just about anything. Like you said, like, the juking, like, the running through people's face, the stiff arm, just the looseness, like, this contact balance, like, all the, just about anything you can want in a running back. Like, he displayed that in the first game alone, and so I feel like that was a pretty big statement by him. But, yeah, it was.
And, dude, the momentum, too, I feel like going into Oregon with that, it was,
big time.
Big time.
Big time.
Should have won that game too, dude. Gosh, frustrating. Sure. But man, I'm sure I know him. You guys are like, God.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, kind of, you know, I hate to piggyback and go back on your injury here, but kind of walk me through that entire process, you know, throughout your rehab. I mean, what's like, I mean, I'm sure you're just like, dude, this is like, how did you cope with the, like the stress of just being sidelined for what was like 7 months or no, sorry, 7 weeks?
So I was out. So from the day that I got injured to the day I came back, it was like a total of 10 weeks. And like before that, it was like, hey, like, we didn't know if you're going to come back at all this year. Like, this could be season ending potentially. And so it was just kind of crazy. Like, when it happened, it was the second play on offense. First play, run counter. Second play is inside zone. And I'm just blocking. I'm blocking downfield, so they bring a pressure. I block out, and I'm on Jordan. He just did the combine, but I'm blocking him downfield, and like it's a good block. And Ashton just so happens to get tackled like behind me, right? And so the pile's behind me, and the other defensive end comes in and adds into the pile late, and so he pinned me in the pile, and that's kind of where. Like, the pile rolled up on me.
Oh, dude, those injuries, I cringe.
And so my foot just gets stuck in the turf, and, like, knee turns inside.
Oh,
and, like, bro. I felt my leg, like, snap. And I fall to the ground, and I'm just laying there on my side, and I'm just like, nope. Like, I don't feel any pain. Like, your adrenaline is, like, so high at the beginning of these games. Yeah. It didn't hurt at all. But I, like, felt just the snap. And, like, I'm laying there, and I'm just like, there's no
please,
way
this just Lord, really happened. Please, like, Lord.
Like, immediately I knew it wasn't, like, something was wrong. And so I'm just laying there, and training staff comes out, coaches come out, and they're just like, you're going to be okay? Like, what's, like, they're, like, feeling up on my leg, like, what's wrong? Like, what is it? And I just wasn't saying anything. I was in shock. Like, I didn't know what to say, and Coach D comes down, and he bends over. And I just, I get super emotional. I'm just like, Coach, like, this isn't good. Like, and I'm like, I can't get out of this game. Like, I can't leave my teammates. Like, yeah, like, and so it was just super emotional. And I was just like, man, like, the whole time I'm not feeling any pain. I'm just like in distraught, like, because I knew, like, man, like, this, my leg just broke. Like, and so they put me in the cart. And Ashton's one of the first ones out there, and he's just like, I love you, bro. Like, everything's going to be okay. Like, we got you. Like, we're going to win this game for you. And, you know, the rest of the team comes out, and, like, I was just, you know, like, balling at that point. Like, we were a super close team. I love every single guy on that team. Like, and then, like, this game, I'm so passionate about this game. It means so much to me that, like, I just didn't want to come off the field. I've never experienced anything like that. Like, I've never missed a football game due to injury. Let alone ever missed a football game in my life from Pee-wee, like, to this point. Like, and so I'm just like, this is not real. And so we go through that, you know, ends up being a really good game. Unfortunately, we lost.
It was a phenomenal game. Sean was there with all of his buddies,
Yeah, it was awesome. I was able to come out. Like, they took me in. I did x-rays, and immediately, like, they saw it was broke. But we didn't know about, like, the MCL or the ankle yet because you find about that stuff in the MRI, but take me back around, shower, come back out after halftime, and I'm just out there in crutches, like, trying to be there for my guys. And TK, Tyler Kenia, he stepped up and played a right guard that game. And so I was just sitting there trying to coach him up and be there for him. Like, hey, you got this, bro. Like, I've seen you work. Like, you're capable of, like, you know, doing a great job. Like, let's go. Like,
I love that.
And so, but, you know, like, going back to afterwards, like, the process and just dealing with, like, the stress and stuff of this injury, like, it was a long process. It was definitely one of the harder things I've done in my life, like, and, like, more of a mental challenge than I've experienced, you know, within this game. Like, the first week, it was just, like, just kept putting it off. Like, there's no way this is real. Because, like, the turnaround was quick. Like, this happened Saturday, like, that following Wednesday. Like, it was surgery. And so they let the break heal on its own. And then I got my MCL repaired. And then the ankle, luckily, there's this, like, if it's, like, there's this separation that can happen, like, in a high, severe high ankle sprain, that, like, it's tightrope. And so, thankfully, I didn't have to do that. But, like, that first week was just kind of, like, just super upset, like, just not.
And depressed.
Then yeah. And at one point, you got to realize, like, okay, like, what am I going to do about this? Like,
yeah, it happened.
It happened. Like, I got to deal with it. It is what it is. Like, what am I going to do from this point forward? And so at that point, like, I made the decision, like, you know, people were telling me, like, you may not come back. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I'm coming back. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, there's no way that I'm not going to be a part of something. Like, I knew this team was special. Like, there was something special was going to happen this year. And I was like, and I don't want to, like, just be on the sideline. Like, I want to be part of this thing. Like, and I have too much love for my teammates and too much love for this game, too much respect for this game to not do anything in my power to get back on the field. So, you know, I attacked rehab, and, like, rehab days consisted of, like, you know, what was required of me was, like, anywhere from, like, 2 to 3 hours of rehab, and I was doing 6 hours of rehab a day, like, working out. Like, we only worked out, lifted 3 times as a team during season, and I was doing 6 out of the 7 days, like, in the weight room, like.
Oh, dude, like, you laying, were like, locked just going, in.
Yeah, like, I was doing anything in my power, and Mason had gotten hurt the week before, and it was like, hey, like,
we looked
at each other and we're like, hey, like, we're going to make this happen. Like, and so we were able to hold each other accountable and to that high standard that we pride ourselves on and say, hey, like, we're going to make this happen. Like, for him too, it was like, hey, like, you're done. Like, this is it. Like, you'll do, like, it'll be big for you next year. Like, it's like, no, I'm sorry, but, like, I'm not taking that. Yeah, don't tell me that. So, you know, it was cool having him. And then Sire also got hurt the following week. And so, like, us three, like, really, like, got That's after right. it together. And so it was kind of crazy because, yeah, like.
Just one after another.
And one like. After another, like, bang, bang,
and
bang.
And then James,
like,
Ferguson Reynolds, right? Against yeah, Wazoo, like.
Yeah.
Like, and he was in a boot.
Yeah, it was crazy how things happened. But, yeah, we, like I said, 6 hours a day and then just trying to lift as much as possible and kind of just doing anything. And, like I said, like, controlling what I could control, like. I made the most of that, and so that definitely got me through it. And it was special, like, coming back. Like,
I was gonna say, you did it, bro.
First game back. Yeah, first game back, Oregon State, Wyoming. Yeah, and like I said, I'm a very emotional player and, like, aggressive. Like, I have a very aggressive nature on the field. And
what happened?
Like, that game, like, you know, I have 3 penalties, right?
Oh, yeah.
The 2 personal fouls and the holding, and, like, obviously that's not something that you, that's not good, like, at all.
Right.
Right? Like, it's unacceptable, and, like, I take full accountability for that. Like,
yeah,
that's something that I, you know, because I was so emotional, I kind of let that, like, take over.
Hey, he said it.
Take over, and.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you're good, man. And I get the best of me, and I kind of started playing out of my technique and a bunch of stuff. And as a result, you know, those 2 personal fouls came, and then the holding was just, like, being out of my technique, right?
Yeah.
And so that was kind of a rough game back. And, you know, I was proud of myself in the sense of, like, being able to, like, make that comeback. But at the end of the day, I'm like, this isn't the brand of football that I'm, like, I play and that I was coached to play, right? And, like, I felt like I was like, man, like, I don't ever want to let my teammates down. So that first game back, I was like, you know, it was something that, okay, like, it was what it was. Like, how am I going to learn from this and be better next week?
Right.
And then it was Oregon State, right?
The Beavers.
Yeah, the Beavers.
Yeah, we tore that dam down.
Yeah. And that game was much better. Like, as an offensive line, like, we played extremely well, I feel like. Like, just, you know, going back and watching the tape, like, everything we pride ourselves on, like, we had a solid game.
Yeah. And that was Mason's first game back.
Yeah,
right?
It was Mason's first game back.
So then Mason came back.
And yeah, it was crazy, man. Like, it's just super emotional. Like, before the game, like, I get in this mode and just flip this switch. And, like, you can ask any guys on the team, like, they're like, yeah, when we're out. Like, before the game, like, it's kind of crazy. Like, I'm sitting there, and, like, there's, like, tears running down my face. Like, I'm just like,
oh, my. I get, like, I love that, dude. That's sick.
Before every game, like, I play. And so, like, before that game, like, it was even more emotional because, like, me and Mason are super close. Like, granted, we play next to each other, but, like, outside of football, like, that's someone that I trust my life with. Like, mm-hmm. I love that guy to death. And so, like, just, you know, like, bro, like, we did it. Like, we're back. Like, it was so, like, such a special moment. Like, we both had, you know, got super emotional. And I just before the game gave him a huge hug. And it's just like, bro, like, let's do this thing. Like, we worked our butts off for this. Like, let's go.
Facts. Yeah.
And so that game meant more to me than, like, my first game back. Like, first game back is cool. Like, you know, I got to touch the field again, like, you know.
Shake the rust off.
Yeah. But, like, that second game was just special just because it was, like, me and Mace. Like, it was something like, hey, like, we told each other at the start of this, like, we're going to do this. And, you know, like, we did it. And it's just, like, you know, like, that love just grows from that. Like, you know, we went through that together. And so that was pretty cool. But. Yeah, it was a process, like, throughout the whole deal. It was, like, more so mentally than physically. Like, physical aspect of it's, like, you know, it is what it is. Like, just working hard, doing that stuff's cool. Like, that's something that, like, being challenged that way is, like, something that just kind of, like, I don't know, is, like, ingrained in us, right? Yeah. Like, the mental part of things, like, that was hard. Like, I'd never experienced anything like that mentally, and I grew from that, like, as a person, like, was able to kind of grow my leadership. Like, how am I going to contribute to this team, you know, without being on the field? And it's like, okay, like, going up there, watching extra film with the guys, like, trying to coach the young guys, like, the guys that are stepping up into those roles, mm-hmm. or whether it's, like, helping Sire, like, you know, with his injury, like, help him through that too, like, encourage him, like, because that was his first time going through something too. And it's just, like, you know, trying to grow my leadership and just different things. And so I was able to grow from that. And looking back, like, it's crazy that I'm saying this, but, like, I'm kind of grateful that I went through that because, like, I grew as a person and as a leader and just, like, just different things outside of, like, just being on the field. And I feel like that's something that, you know, like, that I was called to do, is just, like, grow in those things. And so it was pretty cool. Like,
it's a good outlook on that.
Yeah. So, like, it's hard to sometimes, like, understand why things happen, but I'm a big believer that things happen for a reason always.
Me too.
So.
I'm a big believer in that, too. And you know what? I think that Oregon State game, not only, like, you and Mason being together, but big picture, just I feel like you two being able to be on the field with those seniors one last time. I bet that's really, like, what was, like, damn. Like, this is, like, they're all taking pictures together. Blue, everyone's wearing blue. It's a blue out, senior night. Yeah. You beat Oregon State. Like, I bet that's really what it was kind of like. Like, we did it. We made it back.
100%, man. Like,
yeah.
I have so much love for those seniors, like, that senior class. Like, those guys, like, took me under their wing. And, like, just have so much love and respect for those guys. And I'd do anything for those guys. And so being able to share that field with those guys again was, you know, pretty special. And, like, and it's just, I'm extremely grateful to have been able to go through that and, like, come back and, like, you know, just be a part of something, like, special. You know, like, last year what we did was special. Like, granted, it didn't end the way we wanted it to, right? But, like, just overall the year was awesome. Like, as a program, I feel like we took that next step, and that's something, like, a foundation that we continue to build off of. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. Built different, blue collar.
Yeah.
And what was it? I'm curious, too. So, after the Oregon State game, then you got the Heisman Trophy ceremony.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, what's it like? You have a Heisman Trophy candidate. Should have been winner.
Yeah.
In the locker room, like, you guys were all watching him, he was in New York, like, the whole presentation, like, what, like, walk me through that, like, that energy in, like, the film room, like, is that just surreal or what?
Man, it was just crazy. Like, it still, like, kind of seems, like, insane. Like, still, like, looking back, it's like, holy crap, like, the guy that I was walking for, like, Ashton Gentry, Heisman, like, he should have won the thing, right? Like, you said, like,
we could be here all night talking about that.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, but it's just, it's so crazy. Like, Ashton's just, you know, he's different. Like, when you talk about built different, like, he is the epitome of built different. Like, he's just, and, like, not only is he, like, an awesome football player, like, he's a better human being. Like, in my like eyes, like, people can sit there and argue that all day. Like, no, like, he's one of the best football players ever. And it's like, okay, like, I believe he's one of the best people I've ever been around in my life.
That's, like, I love that.
So much respect and love for that guy. Like, extremely consistent, just how hard he worked and, like, how much love he showed to his teammates. Mm-hmm. And was just always smiling. Like, he had just this contagious, like, smile. Like, and it's like, he light up a room. Like, he walks in, he smiles, like, he just lights up the room. Like, this is the kind of guy he is. And so, like, seeing him be on that stage, like, he deserved every bit of that. Like, just being there and, like, being one of those, the top two guys for that trophy. Like, granted, I wish he would have won it, but.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was just pretty special to see him there. And, like, a bunch, you know, like, as a team, like, we were extremely proud of him. And, like, we all knew how hard he worked for it. And, like, you know, we were just, like, everybody, like, for, like, 2 weeks before that, like, that's all about, that's what everybody was talking about. Like, Ashton's, like, Ashton deserves this more than anybody. And so just seeing him on that stage and having that platform was so awesome. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, something that I can look back on and be like, that was my boy. Like, we played together, like, just being around him. Like, it's crazy, man.
I wanted to ask this, too, because of what just happened. So the NFL Combine just finished up.
Yeah.
Pretend I'm a GM. I'm sitting down with you. I'm like, hey, what am I going to get out of Ashton Jeanty if I draft him?
That's a tough question.
So, yeah, what's an NFL team about to get if they draft Ashton Jeanty? If you had to tell the world right now, who are they getting?
They're getting the whole package. Like, they're getting a guy that's extremely hard worker, like, off the field, great guy. Great guy. He's going to love his teammates. He's going to step up in that leadership role. He's going to lead this team. Like, he's going to be a leader of this team. Like, I guarantee you that the day he steps into an organization, like, he's going to change that place. Like, I guarantee it. And, like, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, they see the big numbers and stuff like that, but they don't know who Ashton is as a person. So I'm a firm believer that when he steps into an organization, like, he's going to change that place. Like, just the culture that is ingrained in him, like, he's going to bring that to that place.
Right.
And, like, not only going to get a good football player, but, like I said, like, he's the real deal. He's the whole package. Like you're getting a once-in-a-lifetime, like, type of guy. Like, generational athlete. Like, you're getting the whole deal. Like,
New Orleans Saints, you hearing this? Yeah, man. Come on, who dat?
Yeah.
Let's draft him. And so your other teammate, too.
Oh, man.
Which NFL team, or I guess, what is the NFL about to get with Ahmed Hassanein? He made some noise at the Combine.
Yeah,
he was the story for, like, the defensive line. I don't know if you saw the coverage.
Yeah.
Dude, they loved him.
They loved him, yeah. And it's crazy because, like, you know, you see the clip, the infamous clip where he's, like, clapping
with
the coach. Yeah,
and, like, the Ravens coach is like, come on, let's go.
And it's crazy because it's like I saw, like, you know, you go through and, like, you look at the comments and people are like, like, he's doing too much, like, doing all this stuff. What people don't realize is, like, that was Ahmed all the time. Like, he brings that type of energy every day, regardless of how he's feeling. Like, he was, like, full go, like, high effort, like, all the time, consistent as it gets. Like, literally, I remember in practice, like, he's lined up across from you, and, like, we're all just, you know, tired as get out, and he's sitting there, like, barking at you, like, just being super obnoxious. Like, he's just, like, that type of player, like, high energy, like, extremely passionate, like, just has this, like, switch that flips in his head, too. Like, he's able to flip that switch, and it's like, all right, like, let's go. And so, like, just seeing him, like, you know, do the things that he did at the Combine, like, it's super awesome, too. Like, I love that guy to death. Like, I'm happy for him. And whoever gets him is going to get someone special. Like, he's one of those guys, too, that he's going to change the place. Like, when he gets there, like, a natural-born leader, like, just by the way he is. Like, and it's crazy thing. Like, he only started playing football 5 years ago.
That's right? What's crazy. And, like, I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Yeah, like, that's crazy. And he's able to do the things that he does, and it's just because, like, the passion that he has and, like, the love for the teammates. Like, and he's such a selfless dude, like, whatever team he goes on, like, he's going to love that team so much that he's going to give, like, sacrifice his body for that team. Like, he's going to sacrifice everything. And, like, Coach D always talks about, like, one of his, like, infamous sayings is, like, love is sacrifice. And, like, that's Ahmed. Like, when I think of that, like, I think of Ahmed. And so, you know, they're getting a special dude, like whoever gets him, and I'm excited to see what he's gonna do in the league, and it's gonna be fun to watch. But yeah, he's a real deal, man.
He is, dude. He's a great dude from what I met. Yeah, he's just like he finally like I mean, what, he didn't even speak English when he got here either.
No.
Like, dude, he has just so many hurdles and he's just conquered everything. Yeah. But I love that. That's cool. Just always high energy barking at you guys. But Roger, back to you. Teammates are great. They're great guys, but Roger, carry on. So the Fiesta Bowl.
Yep.
You went viral before the game even started, my man.
Yeah, I did.
We're gonna talk about that.
Okay, let's go for it.
Sean, can you pull it up? Can you pull up Roger Carrion?
I have it queued right here.
Okay, let's see. Weird. Yep. Oh, here we go. So, yeah, walk me through this.
Yeah.
This is like biggest game of your life.
Yeah.
Ashton's carrying the hammer.
Oh, God.
One more time. Run that back. Boom! There we go. Dude, you just know, like, some 50-year-old out there is like, yeah, that number 62 needs to burn that flag. You know, it's touching the grass. I mean, that just makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah. The crazy thing is, like, I'm one of the most patriotic guys on this team. Like, I love my country. Like, I'm super, like, I'm like, you know, like, I love my country. Like, that's just, I'm a very, like, I take a lot of pride in, like what we do as a country. I have a lot of respect for, like, the military and stuff like that. Like, just how I grew up. That's how I was brought up. And so, like, to carry the American flag for the first time, that was my first time. Like, I've carried the big blue, you know, hammer, whatever. But, like, the American flag, I was, like, so pumped about it. But,
Sean, can you play it one more time? I just, it's not for me to laugh. I just want to see. So I think it looked like your right ankle. Oh, left ankle.
No, so.
Or, yeah. What happened?
So that, what that happened? Was quick. So what happened was my knee braces clicked.
Oh.
So my knee braces get caught. And as a result, that's why I tripped and fell.
Oh,
and like a lot
yeah.
of people thought I rolled my ankle, right? But it wasn't.
Cause yeah,
my ankle was totally fine. It was my knee braces clicked, and it's funny because like from freshman year to this point, like I've always been notorious for clipping my knee braces in practice. Like that's something
that's
that
so good.
Like that's something that happens. Like would happen to me pretty frequently. Like in practice, like we're jogging across the field and knee braces click, and just boom, yeah.
Roger's
like,
down.
Yeah, and so when that happened, I was like. In the moment, like I said, like before the games, I flipped the switch and like there's no outside factors that I let get to me.
Mm-hmm.
So when this happened, like I just got up and kept running.
Yeah.
And I get to the end zone and I still wave the flag. Like it didn't affect me whatsoever. Like before, like when this happened, like I was just like, okay, like I could just shrug it off.
Yeah. Get back up. Let's go.
Yeah. And like it didn't bother me at all. But then after the game, I'm like, holy crap, like I tripped with the American flag on national television. Like,
the only playoff game, too. That was so everyone's watching.
So everybody's watching, right?
Yeah. New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, crazy. But that happens. And so after the game, super emotional. Like, I don't touch my phone for a while. It's just super, like, just like the feeling of the locker room where everybody's just kind of like, you know, down, like upset, like disappointed, like, you know, it's something.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted to win that game, right? So it's just super tense afterwards in the locker room and everybody's just like loving up on each other and just. And so like initially, like I wasn't thinking about it. But then once it kind of like started. Like just the feeling like the tension in the air just kind of started.
Right.
Going down, right? I get on my phone and my phone's just blown up. And a lot of it's like family members, friends, like
hey,
loved ones, like just reaching out and being like, hey, like keep your head up, like you know, you have a lot to be proud of. And then I get on Instagram and it's just or Twitter first, and it's all over.
It's
all over. And then on Instagram, it's all over. And then I have like a bunch of like message requests on there, and it's just like people just kind of like, you know, laughing about it, like. Like, bro, there's no way you tripped at the flag. Like, that's so crazy, like, and all this stuff. But no hard feelings. Like, for me, like, it happened. Like, it didn't really, like, I kind of, like, it's funny. Like, you look back on it, it's like, it's funny. Like, I'm not, like, it doesn't, after the game, like, I just, like, laughed. I'm like, God,
yeah, it's funny,
like,
that's now.
Like, that's something that I would do. Like, you
always clacking
like,
his braces,
roommates
too.
My roommates are like, bro, like, if that was to happen to anybody, it would be you. Like,
so that it's even more poetic.
Yeah, yeah. So
the most patriotic guy, too. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I mean, that's perfect.
Yeah, but crazy.
Hilarious, too.
Yeah, like, yeah. Before the game starts, I have grass stains all over me already. It looks like I'd been, like, played a game already, and we haven't even started, so.
You're like,
yeah, at the end, I go in, I'm waving the flag, like, nothing happened, but.
The Fiesta Bowl, I mean, Penn State, I mean, was that defensive line? Did they just, did they feel different?
I will say that is probably the best D-line I've played against ever in my life. Like, extremely talented. You know, going into it, we knew what they were. Like, they got Abdul Carter.
Like the best defensive player.
The best defensive player in college football. Yeah. And, like, you know, interior-wise, like, they had some dudes. And like, the other edge guys, like, number 15 and 33, like, those guys, like,
they're no joke.
They're no joke. They're a real deal, too. Like, just that whole defensive front, their linebackers, like, extremely talented, solid, like, the best front seven we've probably, like, ever played. Like,
I feel like one of their safeties is going to go pro, too.
Yeah,
like, they're like, all over the board.
Yeah, they were legit. And we, you know, that's something that we knew going into this game. And it's like, okay, like, what are the things that we do to, like, I can, like, compete with these guys. Like, let's go. Like, we don't want to just compete. Like, we want to win this game. And so, like, going in, like, we're confident. But, like, that first, those first two drives is, like, trying to, like, feel them out. Like, you know, you don't know until you know. Like, you can watch all the tape in the world and, like, understand their movements and just, like, how they work. Like, just because every guy's got a specific set of skills and a specific set of, like, habits that they have, right? And so you study those habits and those skills. And so, like, going into the game, like, you know those things, but, like, when you feel it, like, it's different. Like, you got to feel it, like.
Right.
It's, like, trying to figure it out. Like, the whole first quarter is, like, trying to figure out. And, like, the earlier you can figure those guys out and, like, get a feel for what they're doing, like, the better off you are. Like, that's when you start seeing offenses, like, take off, right? But, yeah, man, like, it was just crazy. Like, it's, I think it was number 20, the interior guy. Was it 29?
I'm not sure. Sean,
28, I think, 28.
Okay.
So we marked him down as, like, the best interior player, and then obviously Abdul Carter, their best edge guy. But 29 played to my side most of the game, and it was crazy because there's times where, like, you know, you have this block, and it's set up, like, perfectly, like, perfect hand placement, like, everything. Like, I'm in the right spot for this block, and, like, there's times where you feel it, and it's just like, okay, like, I'm about to dump this guy.
Yeah.
And, like, next thing you know, he just drops, rips, and, like, dives and hits Ashton ankles, and he makes a tackle. Like, just the contact balance that these guys have, and, like, the low center of gravity, and, like, how they were able to defeat blocks was, like, something I'd never, like, I was like, holy smokes, like, these guys are, like, NFL level guys. And so, like, that was cool. Like, I was like, you know what, like, let's go, like,
let's go. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, like, let's go. Let's, and, you know, there's a lot of, they were, like, very talkative during the game, and I'm a pretty, like, talkative guy too, just depending on, like, how they, like, I don't know. It's like the whole game, we're just chatting back and forth. Like, it's just a super, like, let's go, like, trying to get after each other. But, yeah, they were the real deal. They're the real deal. A lot of respect to those guys. But, you know, there was things as like, the game went on, like, things that – it's, like, our DNA that we do extremely well, that we struggled with, and mistakes that we don't make very often, like, that we had during that game. And it's, like, man, like, you know, you look back and it's like, I can confidently say, like, I gave everything I had for this game, but I'm like this mistake is something that I was, like, not characteristic of, like,
yeah.
And it's like, God, like,
I don't want to back.
Like, oh, like, but definitely something that took a lot from that game. And there's a lot of stuff that I can learn from that game.
Yeah.
And so
now you got a taste.
Yeah.
Now going into next season.
Going into next season.
Got some big games too this year. I'm sure you got them circled.
Yep.
Obviously, hey, next game's the biggest one. Or absolutely. What does Coach D say? Next game's the most important.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Verbatim. I'm trying to figure.
Yeah.
Other than thank you, Jesus, it's next game's the most important.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, dude, going into next season, I mean, everything that you've learned so far. I mean, is there one aspect that you're trying to still focus on, going into your redshirt junior year? Or I guess what's like your biggest focus going into the year?
I would say right now my biggest focus is like, you know, with our team being new, is like I said, like continue to grow that leadership and just like getting this team, like, you know, getting everybody super close. Cause like out of the last 3 years, like one of the biggest things that I noticed is like the more like the closer our team is, like the more everybody like loves each other and like that gets all started. Like how close a team is like been the most successful teams. And so like right now my focus is like just trying to bring everybody along with me.
Nice.
I get all these new guys and like, you know, just show them like the ropes, like what this place is about and like the standards that we have within our program. And it's like just trying to bring those guys and show them the way. And like the sooner we get that done, like, you know, like the, you know, we just continue to grow as a team and like the more success we'll have at the end of the day. And so it's like right now that's like my focus is like, you know, my teammates, like trying to build those relationships, trying to get to know the new guys. And then from that, like just continue to build like on like personal things, like within the football, like technique, you know, just trusting Coach Hilgard and his staff, like continue to grow like physically, get in the film room and just understanding defensive schemes that much more. So, yeah.
But. I love that. So it kind of it harps on you, what you said earlier, being like being that leader, right? Trying to lead and develop. Because, you know, at one point you were that young guy.
Yeah.
And OJ was like, no, get under my wing.
Yeah.
Let's go for a ride. Now you're like, okay, I feel like maybe, you know, this is my time to kind of take that role. And you kind of feel like you're taking that, you know, that leadership role here. It seems like you got a little head start on it.
For sure. Like, yeah. Obviously, like as a leader, there's always stuff to grow on, right? Like you can always get better at certain things and like that never stops throughout your life. And so I understand that, but like, I do feel like it's that time, like, this O-line room is, like, me, Cage, and Mason, like.
A lot of people coming back, yeah.
This is our O-line room, like, you know, we're the guys that are the leaders in that room, and, like, bring those young cats along, like, that's something, and, like, it's something I take pride in, like, growing up, everybody always, like, it's like, hey, like, I don't know if you realize this or not, but, like, you're, like, a natural leader, like, this is something that, like, that you like that's who you are. And so like you get here and you're young and you don't understand, like it's hard to find that, like you're the young guy, like not a lot of young guys can step up and do that. So it took me a little longer to kind of figure that out, but like now I'm like it's full embracing it and like understanding, like there's a lot that comes with it. There's a lot of responsibility, like a lot of guys look to you and it's like if you're not doing things the right way on or off the field, or like if you're not being consistent and like how you work and just how you do things, like they're gonna do the same thing you do. Like they're looking to you. So if you want, like if we have, we
lead
want
by example. Room,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we gotta lead by example. But yeah, it's something that I'm fully embracing, and I'm kind of excited to step into that role and have a more prominent role in like being a leader on this team. But
I love that, dude. Well, yeah, a little bit about you personally. What do you like to do in your free time before we wrap up?
I love to hunt.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like. It's like football, and then hunting's like right below it. Like
okay,
just
what are you being shooting? Bow?
So shooting.
Okay.
I kind of want to get a bow hunt once I get done with football later down the road. Like that's something that I'll probably get into. But
you got more free time.
Yeah. I didn't do that growing up, and it's a lot to get into it, and like obviously like elk deer and all that. Like, it's like deer in the season.
True.
So
yeah, you gotta.
It's hard to be able to do that stuff. So, but no, yeah, I love to hunt. And pretty much anything. I grew up hunting whitetail, mule deer, coyotes, dove, quail, like just anything that was in my area where I grew up. So I did that. And then when I got here, like I got introduced to like waterfowl hunting, like duck hunting, goose hunting, spring bear, turkey hunting. So like all this stuff. Actually, Wow. Yeah, I love it. Like just being in the outdoors, like there's just a sense of peace. Like, you're out there in the wilderness, and it's just
the mountains.
It's like me and my boys, and like no one else is around.
Yeah,
and you just—it's like it's so peaceful. And
nothing
it's just
matters.
Yeah, nothing else in the world. Like when you're like it's just you, the animals. You're like it's just it's awesome. But I had the opportunity to go on a bear hunt, spring bear last year, and then a turkey hunt. Unfortunately, we didn't get a bear. But
damn, black bear.
Black bear, yeah.
Okay.
But we all shot turkeys, so. First Turkey, that was That's super sweet. Awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was super awesome, and we're gonna do that again. We're gonna run it back this year.
Let's go.
So in May, we're going on another bear hunt. We fly into, the backcountry on this little bitty plane, land on a grass field, and like just set up camp and just hike miles every day. Sorry. So it's super.
Did you see
cool.
the Fiesta Bowl video, Roger? Someone's like, yeah. It just doesn't stop.
Yeah. No, but yeah, it's awesome. Like it's the most beautiful thing. Like you're flying, like when you're flying in with this plane, like you're flying through the mountains, and it's just probably the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. Like,
wow, where is that? Where are you flying to?
It's it's in eastern Idaho.
Eastern. Okay, so it's not like Idaho Falls area, is it?
No.
That east or Blackfoot?
So it's kind of like, I don't want to give away my hunting spot right now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like it's over in eastern Idaho somewhere.
It's a secret spot. Okay.
Yeah, and so we fly in and super beautiful, and you know you get there and it's like every day is a different. It's like one day you know we walk 7.5 miles. And it's like climb like 3,000 feet in elevation, like brutal. The next day it's like 14 miles, but everything's like more flat. So it's just, and you're just trying to glass the whole time and just trying to find these things. And last year we saw a big sow with 3 cubs, but you know you can't shoot them if they have cubs with them. And it was cool to watch though. Like those things are so tiny.
I'm sure that's just kind of breathtaking, but just I feel like that's something you just kind of have to see, you know. Yeah, just like just take it in, like,
for sure.
Damn, nature.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love doing that stuff. And then duck hunting, like that's something that we love to do too. Like me, Cole Miller, Austin Terry, Mitchell Bothwell, like a bunch of us, Jason Steele, like
nice.
Maddox gets in there too. Like we love to, like,
yeah, Maddox mentioned he's an outdoors guy.
Yeah,
okay.
Love to do that together. And I have a chocolate lab that I sent off for training. He was gone for 4.5 months. Just got him back, so
let's go. He's dialed in.
He's gonna be a retriever for me when we go duck hunting. So, yeah, man, it's something I love to do.
I love that. Okay, yeah, a little bit about Roger Carey on the person. Dude.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I am hunting. I've always kind of wanted to get in that a little bit. I just never really grew up hunting. I was more of like the fishing.
Okay. Yeah.
Fishing type. Dad was a big fisher guy.
Okay.
But I don't, yeah, guns were never really like our like staple for like getting outdoors.
Yeah.
But I've always been, I mean, I've shot guns. I've never like shot at an animal though. I feel like it'd be kind of, that's an experience.
It for sure. It's for sure an experience. Like,
Your first one, do you remember where you're kind of like, whoa.
Yeah. So when I shot my first deer, it was kind of crazy. Like, you know, right before you get the shakes and you're just super nervous. So you're just trying to calm yourself down so you can take, you know, a good shot, because you don't want to just...
The Call of Duty, right? What's like, you got to hold your breath. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, super nervous, shoot, get them down, and like, just after, like, the feeling is unreal. Like, it's just, it's hard to describe it. Like, it's something that you got to kind of experience for yourself, but like, it's super awesome. Like, just super special moment. Like, you're grateful. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's just super cool. And so I was able to shoot my first deer, and my brother was with me, and so that was awesome. And so we go, you know, we let the animal lay for a second, and then, you know, you go out there and you like pay your respects and stuff. And my brother and I are just sitting there like, oh my gosh, like just so pumped up, like fist bumping, like chest bumping, like just so happy. Like
we did it.
Yeah, like I got my first one. Yeah, my first buck. And a family friend who's leased that we were hunting on, he's sitting back in the deer blind, and he's like telling, like, we look over and he's like, get down. Like, I guess there was another buck coming in. And my brother needed to fill his tag, and so we dropped down and we're laying like hiding behind like the body of my deer, like, yeah, and like just hiding, and like this buck comes up and my brother's able to get a shot, like he's like resting on my deer,
like on the carcass. Just wow.
And he's able to shoot his buck. And so like, that was super cool. Like that's for that's the first crazy. Time ever. Like, yeah, that was crazy. Like that was his second. That was my first. But like that was probably a moment that I can vividly remember and like something I'll
probably
never forget.
You'll probably never forget that. Yeah, no. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, Roger, it's been an hour, dude.
Really?
Time flies, huh?
Yeah, time flies.
Shit, we got to hang out more often. You kidding me? So, but yeah, hey, what I like to do just to wrap up, I know I'm getting hungry. I'm ready for dinner. Yeah. I don't know if that's what the phone call was about.
But probably so.
It's 8:15.
Yeah.
But one message for Bronco Nation, just going into next season, any message you got for them, just say it into this camera. Sean will put you in queue right there. And so, yeah, just kind of like, I know it's tougher with the off season. Usually, like, in the middle of the season, we'd be like, they'd be like, yeah, come to the game, sell out the crowd. But now it's just like, hey, I don't know, any like special messages or notes that you got for Bronco Nation just signing off?
As far as like Bronco Nation, I just want to say I'm extremely grateful for the support from the community. It's been awesome. Like last year's support was awesome. And this year's going to be special too. And we got a lot coming, got a lot of special dudes on this team. And we're excited for next year and hope to see y'all at all the games. And pack out all these games again and set some new attendance records, but yeah.
Yeah, baby. I love it. So, sorry to put you on the spot a little bit. Good. You're kind of like, oh, man, shit. Let me. but yeah, man, thank you again for coming on. It was a pleasure having you. You were great. Awesome stories. And best of luck to this upcoming season, man. Yeah.
Ryan, appreciate you, man.
Yeah, you got it,
appreciate
dude.
Appreciate you.
So, yeah, that's been an episode. Me. Yeah, yeah. Hey, maybe you'll be back on here soon. Yeah, keep doing your thing. Maybe if you fall again. Maybe with the hammer, we'll get you back on, dude.
Yeah, make sure that didn't happen again.
Making sure those knee braces aren't cracking. Well, awesome, guys. That's that has been episode 156 with Roger Carrion. Make sure to subscribe to the channel. We appreciate your support, as always, just so we can keep doing this. Big shout-out to SB Studios and Settle Down Productions, Settle Down Media, for everything you do. Sean, any closing remarks?
No, I am... Yeah, it's a great episode.
You're what? What were you going to say?
No, I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. great episode.
Yeah.
Well, sweet, guys. Yep, have a good one. Take it easy, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
Now it's time for the takeover.
Buckle up for Kobe.
Not the game. We're talking about practice, man.
That's it. Stretch three. Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Oh, what a shot from Curry.
Diggs. Sideline.
The return to glory.
Now it's time for the takeover.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. If you ain't first, you're last.